At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, my friend, my co-host, my colleague, it seems like the allergy monster is back in your house. How are you feeling? How are you hanging in there?
Well, you know, I live with two allergens, two cats, you know, so... No, I don't know. I was doing fine until I came upstairs and came and sat in here. I do think it's you. I didn't get itchy till I sat down here to do this.
Yep. You saw this linen shirt. And you're like, I'm allergic to those shirts now, apparently. So
shirts are bad.
No. The shirts are bad. Oh, man. This one, hey, this is not like a fishing.
No, that's a good shirt.
Yeah, this is like a emo dad shirt. It's like,
yeah.
Like hip.
That's what I picture you in.
Right. Not my fishing shirts.
I'm going to get you a pair of Hey Dudes for your birthday.
I've been so self-conscious. I have not worn that shirt since you've been here. And it's been hot. And I'm just like, but everybody says I look like.
Your shirt is fine. Wear your shirt.
I don't know if I might just go in the back of the closet now.
Oh, my
gosh. If I ever go fishing, I'll put it on. So
get you some boat shoes, some Sperry's.
Well, I am sorry that your allergy is hitting you again. When we hopped on, for those who are listening, she was like rubbing her eyes. She's like, I can't even really see you. So, but, you know, super glad to be able to be here with you. We've got looks like a pretty interesting episode coming up. This week is your case, so I'm super excited to get into that. But I got to tell you, dude, I have missed having you around the house. What was it when you left on Wednesday? On like Thursday and Friday, I was like, "Man, I wish Olivia was still here." So you definitely felt like part of the family. So,
well, thanks. Yeah, my house is kind of empty, but y'all haven't been here for me to miss y'all. Well, y'all got to come down.
Yeah, Millie's like, Olivia needs to come back. Olivia needs to come visit. So she was very psyched to have you here. And then when she ended up coming home that day, she was like, I didn't get to say goodbye to Olivia. And we're like, well, we asked you if you wanted to come home early. So
it was a big decision for her to make. She wasn't sure if she wanted to leave her friend.
Yeah, you can't cut out cousin time. You know what I mean? So,
but I did say bye to her at the splash pad.
Yep. Yeah. Guess where we went today?
To the soak.
Yep. We were soak sitting up, me and her. Kara stayed home. So I took her and.
Was it half as packed or 58% less, but the same?
It was about 58% less people, but about the same. No, it actually was, the parking lot was just as busy, but there wasn't as many people there. So it was nice. But Millie met a little girl. She came running up to me. She said, Dad, I just met a girl. Her name is Mia Sophia Pizzeria. And I was like, what? She goes, I swear, that's what she told me her name was, Mia Sophia Pizzeria. And that's what Millie called this little girl the whole time they played together. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's probably not her legal name.
Sounds like she met her match at the splash pad today.
Oh, yeah. They're having fun. This girl was like unchained level psychopath. She was just walking around splashing people. And she was, but like in like the best kind of way, like crazy little kid way. So Millie came up. She goes, I don't know what's up with this girl, but she's a lot of fun. And just took off running again. So
that's funny.
So it was a good time, but yeah, we went. It's just been too hot, man. I I'd take
you had
her
to go to jail again.
I know. I take her so I can go. So I'm like, yeah, let's just go stand in the water because it's so hot outside. It's terrible. But well, with that being said, again, this week is your case. Just kind of peeking through the notes like I usually do. This looks super interesting. I also heard that this was a suggestion from one of our listeners. I heard you mention.
It was. It is. It's from Corey Jones.
Well, Corey, thank you for suggesting this case. I think there's another one Corey might have suggested. Some of the feedback that we got was that, you know, it turns out our listeners like more than one part stories. And so I was looking into one of them and it looks like I might actually be able to break it up into maybe two or three pieces. So I'm not going to give any spoilers yet, but definitely be on the lookout for that. But I, you know, love doing cases that our listeners suggest and things like that. So what do you say? Should we just jump on into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's go.
On a cold Kentucky night in early January 2019, a young mother of four walked out of a Lexington bar with three men she had just met. By morning, she was gone. No calls, no texts, no goodbyes. And for the next 6 months, her family would live a nightmare. Desperate searches, empty answers, until one July evening when the smell of death rising from a strawberry patch would reveal the horror they'd feared all along. It was January 4th, 2019. 22-year-old Savannah Spurlock had just given birth to twins a month earlier. She was adjusting to life as a mom of four, and this was her first outing since giving birth, which was a rare chance to be something other than exhausted. She had joined friends for a drink at the other bar, a Lexington College hangout. Around 2 a.m., Savannah was caught on surveillance footage leaving the bar. She was walking with three men. Moments later, she FaceTimed her mom from a backseat of a car. She seemed calm, tired maybe, but she said she'd be home soon. Savannah never made it, and by morning her phone was off. No one could reach her. Hours turned into days, days into weeks. She was gone without a trace. Savannah Spurlock was more than a headline. She was a daughter, a sister, and a fiercely loving mother of four young boys. At just 22 years old, she was working hard to rebuild her life after a rough patch. She had moved in with her mom, Ellen, and was looking forward to the future. Family and friends described her as full of life. She was funny, bubbly, and devoted to her children. She wasn't reckless. She didn't run off. Her mom would later say she would have never left her babies. Never. That's what made her disappearance so chilling. This wasn't a case of someone walking away. Something happened to Savannah, and her family was determined to find out what. Now, within days, Richmond Police and Kentucky State Police launched an intensive investigation. The surveillance video gave them an early lead. Three men who had left the bar with Savannah, all three were quickly located. One of them stood out, David Sparks, 23 years old from Girard County. Sparks told investigators that Savannah came back to his house that night. His home was about 40 minutes south of Lexington. According to him, she had asked for his address to call a ride, and when he woke up, she was gone. Police weren't buying it. They searched his house on January 22nd, just a few weeks after Savannah's disappearance. The scene was suspicious. A rug was missing, the walls had been freshly cleaned, and in the bedroom closet they found blood. At the time, they didn't have enough to arrest him, but they kept watching. For months, they combed rural Kentucky, woods, waterways, landfills. They followed every lead, and all the while, David Sparks kept quiet. Until the ground finally gave up its secrets. On July 10th, 2019, Sparks' father called police. There was a strange odor coming from a disturbed patch of dirt behind their home, which was an old strawberry field. That night, investigators returned with shovels. And just before midnight, they made a grisly discovery, a shallow grave. Inside, a body wrapped in black plastic and a rug. The remains were badly decomposed, bound with tape, and buried just 19 inches deep. The next morning, dental records confirmed what everyone feared. It was Savannah Spurlock. The rug, it matched the one missing from the Sparks' bedroom. Back in January, police had also discovered a handwritten letter in Sparks' room. It described violent fantasies, things like squeezing the life out of someone, stabbing them in the chest, and smiling. He called himself, quote, a born psychopath. Even creepier, it wasn't buried deep in the notebook. It was right on page one. Then there was the blood in the closet, which was later confirmed to be Savannah's. And digital evidence? Sparks had Googled her case. He had messaged friends saying police were on his ass, complaining that they thought he was a killer. They were right.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
David Sparks was 23, a construction worker with no criminal record. By most accounts, he was quiet, maybe a little odd, but not someone expected would be capable of murder. But the evidence painted a chilling picture. The other two men from that night told investigators that Savannah had become heavily intoxicated. One of them said she was drifting in and out of consciousness, and Sparks had been touching her inappropriately. The two men left the house around 4 a.m., leaving Savannah alone with Sparks. This was the last time anyone saw her alive. Sparks had 6 months to hide what he had done, but in the end, the grave was on his family's land. The blood was in his room, and his own words gave him away. Just hours after Savannah's body was found, Sparks showed up at the Richmond police station unprompted. He said he'd locked his keys in the car and needed a lawyer. Police took this as a confession. He was arrested on the spot. Initially, he was charged with evidence tampering and abuse of a corpse. But with the remains confirmed, prosecutors quickly added a murder charge. When the news broke, Savannah's family said the world went quiet. They had held out hope and even as the weeks dragged on, but now they had an answer. It wasn't the one they prayed for. In August of 2019, a grand jury indicted Sparks for murder. He pled not guilty, but the evidence was overwhelming. The bloody closet, the burial site, the disturbing letter. Prosecutors prepared for trial, but before it ever reached a jury, Sparks changed his plea. On December 1st, 2020, he pleaded guilty to murder, tampering with evidence, and abuse of a corpse. In court, he admitted that he alone had caused Savannah's death. He showed no emotion. 2 weeks later, he was sentenced to 50 years in prison. Under Kentucky law, he must serve 20 years before being eligible for parole. To Savannah's family, it wasn't enough, but it was something. Savannah Spurlock was a mother, a daughter, and a sister. She went out for a few hours to enjoy life and she never came back. Her four sons will grow up without her, but her name will live on. So that's this week's case. What do you think?
Man, this one is a tough one for me. And I think part of the reason for that is as you were going through the details of the story, you know, I remember when Millie was born and just what a fight it was to try to do anything. Like, I remember the first time we were like, we're going to go to Chili's and we're going to take the baby with us, right? And like, she just was screaming and it, you know, it's just, it's so hard to do anything. And I remember the first time that Kara had gone out after giving birth to Millie and, you know, you got to think, right? Like, not that, you know, anybody in our house has ever had a drinking problem or anything like that, but we've always like enjoyed a good time, you know, and it had been 10 months. You know, so it's like, it's your first time out. The kid is, you know, with grandma and you feel like safe to kind of let loose. And, you know, I remember that night was like, maybe like one too many, you know what I mean? But we had fun. Luckily I was with her. Right. But I can kind of see Savannah the same way that I saw Kara, right? It's like, I've just had these twins. I've been doing nothing but taking care of these children. And like, I finally get a night to go out with my girlfriends and have fun. And I think, you know, she did what a lot of moms probably do and like probably just went a little too hard in the paint because you're like, I got some freedom, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there was somebody that was out, you know, whether they knew it or not, they were hunting, you know, and it's just terrible that all she was trying to do is go out and unwind a little bit. And because of sparks, like, her kids don't have a mother anymore. And, you know, her mother doesn't have a, you know, her daughter is lost. And I don't know. It's really sad. This one, again, like, I have very vivid memories of that evening, you know, and so I could easily transpose one in for the other. And I think it hits pretty close to home. What about you? What were your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's just scary in general. And this is the thing that I think we need to teach the young men of this world is, like, the two dudes should have never just left them two alone. You know, they knew she was not in her, you know, in her right mind. And clearly their friend was touching her inappropriately. So, like, there were signs. And so I just think that if you see something, say something. And so I feel like a lot of this could have been prevented, but I mean, we've all been there. We've all drank too much, had one too many, and, you know, had a lapse in judgment for a short time. But, you know, unfortunately hers ended up in the loss of her life. But I don't know. I just feel like she should have never left with the three of them.
Yeah. And I'm definitely with you. And I think that brings up a really good point, right? Like, what in the world were these other two dudes thinking? Just being like, oh, we're just going to leave this inebriated woman who's, you know, passing in and out of consciousness with our friend who's been groping her while she's sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. I mean, they're also like 22, 23, but I still feel like that's old enough to know better. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's like, you should know, right? Like, I've never been with anybody where in a situation, I think, you know, anywhere, like, where I would even think that was okay. You know what I mean? That would
and maybe
be,
they, you know, maybe they weren't worried because they didn't think their friend would do something like that. Like, yeah, he might have been touchy-feely with her, but at the end of the day, like, he's going to go to bed, he's going to put her to bed, and that's the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a track record, so who knows what they really thought, but I don't know, it's just unsettling.
Yeah. Like, you know, I remember when I was in the band and playing shows, like, we would see people, like, women would come to our shows. And at this time, I mean, like, you know, I would say girls, because at this time they're probably, you know, young 20s or whatever, and they get hammered. Now, you know, a lot of the people that came to our shows, like, we knew. And so it's like, no, dude, like, we're going to make sure you get home okay. You know what I mean? And so, like, and not only are you going to get home okay, you're going to get home okay rolling with a group of like seven dudes. We're going to make sure that nobody else tries to take advantage of you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, especially in, you know, especially if you grew up in kind of the time that I did, it's a real bummer because a lot of the people you really looked up to, you find out later were doing like terrible things. You know what I mean? So it's like, like, I think it's just super important that there is some, like, like you said, the message to young men, right? It's like, if you see your dude doing something they're not supposed to be doing, like, call them out on it. You know what I mean?
And,
you know, make sure that young lady gets home safe or gets to someone who can help her, you know, because if they would have taken action, like you said, like, she could very well still be here. And yeah, maybe they didn't think that, you know, he was going to murder her by any means, but, like,
right.
You know, it still shouldn't be cool to be like, well, he was just being highly inappropriate with her, so we just left. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
You know, so. It's just sad all over, man. It's like, you know, you think about, I mean, she had twins that were a month old. You know what I'm saying? She got to be those kids' mom for a month before her life was taken from her. And so now these kids have to grow up their whole life being like, you know, I don't have a mom. You know, it's just hard. It's a hard one to get through. Thanks, Corey. Thanks for sending us this one. I'm just kidding.
Well, if we're talking deadbolt test, what are you thinking?
Oh, man. For me, 100%, this is going to be a 10 for me. This is like, you know, right. Kara goes out and she has like girls' nights. And, you know, she's at an age now, like, she's not. I feel like this is a normal thing with people in like their young 20s, right? Like, you haven't established the boundaries. You know what I mean? You don't know where to be like, okay, I can get to like drink number three and I know I'm good. It's like, I don't know. I'm right. Gone until I'm like drink 12, you know?
Right.
So maybe not so much now, but, you know, Kara goes out for girls' nights. Kara, you know, will go do things in Nashville and go meet people and stuff like that. And it is one of those things where it's just like, you never know who is just there looking, you know what I mean? Who's there, like, eyeing, who's just looking to take advantage of somebody and hurt somebody, you know? So this would definitely, for me, I would put this at 10. What about you? Where are you putting it?
Well, when you put it that way, I'm going to put it up there. I was going to give it an 8. It is scary. It's just a matter of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, meeting the wrong people. I mean, I talk to everyone. I don't meet a stranger. If you sit next to me, I'm going to carry a conversation with you, just like I met my friends at the Coldplay concert. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to get to know you if we're going to enjoy a space together. And so I can see that happening to anyone. It's just a matter, did you park your car next to the wrong person? Did you just happen to go into the wrong restaurant bar at the wrong time?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I'm going to give it an 8.
Okay. I'm surprised that I'm coming in higher than you in this one. I don't know. I do think part of it is like the, you know, losing your the mother to your children. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there is like the parental element. Yeah. So maybe that's
and
why.
And like you said, you've been there. You've been in that moment when Kara didn't drink for probably a year or so. But, yeah. You know, I'm like, it's a long time. And then you feel like, oh, I get my body back. I can only imagine what that feels like.
Yeah. And like, she wasn't like belligerent or anything like, you know, by that means. But it was one of those things where I'm like, man, I'm glad that I'm here. Because I can tell that she's, you know, she's not out for a long time, but she's out for a good time.
For a good time,
you know
what I mean? Yeah.
So, but like I said, I think we've all been there, you know, like one time I was in downtown Plymouth, which is the town that I grew up in. And I've just been doing shots with friends. And this car full of like, at the time, like 40-year-old women were like, hey, get in. And I was like, okay. And so I just got into the car with these women and I ended up in some sketch ass biker bar, like two towns over with a bunch of dudes who scared the hell out of me. And I was, luckily I had a friend who I was able to call and be like, come get me. But I was just sitting there thinking like, how did I get here? Like, why did I make this decision? You know what I mean? But it's because I had had too many drinks. I was down for whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So
them women, yeah, they got you.
They're scary. Those
middle-aged women. Yep. I like how we're like middle-aged at 40.
Not middle-aged at all, but you know, and also like now I'm that age, you know what I mean? It was like 20 right. years ago. So, but yeah, it's just, you know, I think we've all been there. It's just, you always have to have your guard up, and an alcohol in high levels is one of those things that just makes it super hard to effectively do that. You know what I mean? So you got to like make sure you have good people with you and, you know, you're in as safe of a place as you can be, you know, and it just sucks that there was somebody out there like Sparks that just wanted to hurt somebody. You know, she was in the wrong place with the wrong psycho at the wrong time, you know? Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia's coming in at an 8. I'm coming in at a 10. But as always, we want to hear from our listeners, our locksmiths. Where does the disappearance and murder of Savannah Spurlock fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to be part of your world, as Aladdin said. We would love to have you be part of our community, get to know you, spend a little bit of time with you. So if you'd like to join the Facebook group, we just did a Facebook Live there. It was incredible. If you're interested in coming and being part of that community, there's a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to right now. And Olivia, you know, we love to hear from our listeners. We like emails and Spotify comments and all sorts of things. But if somebody wants to leave us a 5-star review, what is the best way for them to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all 5 stars, click all 5, and tell us what you think about Check the Locks.
That's right. Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. That's Apple Podcasts. Click those stars. Let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you. Again, these reviews, they help us out so much. They get us into other shows' recommendations. They help new listeners find the show. So if you've taken the time to leave a review, just know that we appreciate you so much. If not, if you listen on Apple, what the hell are you waiting for? Go leave that review. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks to get signed up today. Got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, got stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. But you also get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you really dig what we do, you want to, you know, help us keep the lights on, that's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and hanging out with us and sharing this in any shape or form with the people in your life means just as much, if not more. So again, if that's you, you're listening, you're hanging out with us, and you're telling other people to check it out, just know that it means the world to us. Again, it's all about that growth, bringing in new members of the community and new listeners, and nothing does that in the same way that sharing this podcast with your friends does. So again, if you're sharing this in any way, shape, or form, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.